This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we will do our best to try to answer your question or at least send you on the right direction if we can. And everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you are part of our Facebook group, we have a private Facebook group called the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. So if you want to join that, just ask us to join it and you can get all the links there as well. And there's also some nice back and forth with folks who are trying to help each other out within the Facebook group. We used to have a forum in the old days. It's a pain to maintain that thing. So this is what this is all about. And you guys can help each other. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Donald next in Avon. What's happening, Donald?
Hello.
Hello, sir.
How you doing? Last week you were talking about a Windows 11 machine and having problems setting it up with the mail app.
Yeah,
I'm having the same issue.
Yeah,
I got a new, and I'm trying to. I got the mail app. I got the Hotmail account going. I can't get a Yahoo account or a Gmail account working.
So you're using the built-in mail app. I was talking about Outlook New. Are you using Outlook or are you using that little envelope mail app?
I'm trying to use the mail app. That's what I was using on the Windows 10 machine.
Okay.
And then I tried using the Outlook.
Yeah.
And it's worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New Outlook is the worst thing I've ever dealt with. So on the mail app, Dennis, you have any advice for him on configuring the other mailboxes?
Well, the question I have is, does he still have the Windows Mail app on the computer?
On the Windows 11 computer, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Another thing you can do.
I'd like to add to that, too, is that when I try to add the password for, like, a Gmail account,
yep,
you can see it shaded in there that says, you know, password,
yep,
in a line. And when you click in there, usually the word password goes away, and you can type in your password.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That gray area doesn't go away. You type in your password, you can still see the gray area. You hit return it, and it just goes off to, you know, it doesn't see the password.
See, that's part of the advanced authentication.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that particular logic is not functioning on the computer. I'm going to suggest you do something a little different and use a different email client called Thunderbird.
Yeah, just dump Microsoft's mail client altogether. Yeah.
Forget it.
So is it worthwhile to set up Outlook? At work, I used Outlook for years.
Well,
you got to pay for that, though.
Yes, that's something you've got to have. Now, if you've got like a personal or family 365 plan, you may have the true Outlook app on the computer, or you can get it. But if you don't have that and you want to buy it as a standalone product, I think it's $150.
Oh, yeah.
That's just way too much money. I mean, it's a great thing, but if I have to shell out that much just for that, man.
Until they then update it to new Outlook, even though you didn't want it,
Yeah.
Like I had my problem last week. So Thunderbird's something you should try. Donald, yeah. See if you like it. It's Dennis swears by it. He uses it all the time.
I've been using it for 20 years.
It has nothing to do with the wine.
Yeah. Well, I had to sign up for Microsoft 365 to get Windows and Excel. And so I think Outlook's part of that.
Well, all right. Yes. Okay. Then you would have the true, what Microsoft is now calling legacy Outlook on the computer. And that should work.
Yeah.
And the way that
an app? I tried to load that, and it came up as a page, an internet page.
All right.
I haven't found the app.
Okay, what I would do is look in your list of installed applications in Control Panel.
Okay.
Find Office. Mm-hmm. Do a repair on that.
Okay.
All right. Then reboot the computer. Then see if you can open Outlook.
Okay.
The other way to go would be to open up Control Panel, open the Mail applet inside of that, and then connect the mailboxes to that.
Right. And we have no idea why mail
outlet. Did you go to the? Where do you go?
Go into Control Panel.
Yep.
All right.
And there will be a little applet inside of that called Mail.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And then in that you can add your accounts.
And then I see it in. In the Mail app?
No.
Well, no. You'll see it in the real Outlook after you've repaired Office so that it works.
Okay.
Yep. You can save yourself all these headaches and just use Thunderbird.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
He's dead serious. Microsoft's, if you listen to the show, you don't need to say anything. But, their products is just such a pain all the time. I mean, it's ridiculous. How much trouble they cause.
Yeah.
Now, don't you have something to get done?
Well, if you get Thunderbird, you'll have all that time to get things done.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure.
In backups in Windows 11, and you can back up to OneDrive. Is that useful?
I do not consider that a backup, and I am very sure that Eric agrees with that.
Right. We've seen too much times in our business clients where they thought it or considered it a backup. It's not a backup. It's a synchronization. And sadly, you can lose data in that OneDrive account due to a synchronization approach.
Right, because you could delete a file, and then it'll be gone in that cloud.
Right.
And if you need to get it back because you changed your mind or you realize you need it anyway— Well, it's gone, but if you actually had a genuine backup,
right,
it would be there and you could restore it.
Yes, we have to back up Microsoft 365, because there's shared responsibility in the cloud, guys. And just because it's in the cloud doesn't mean it's their full responsibility for your data. Their only responsibility of Microsoft's cloud is that it's up and available. And even if it's not available, they don't really care if it's not available. But their shared responsibility is that they'll have the service up. You've got to back up your data. So the OneDrive, even though they kind of act like it is, they want to get your data in the cloud. And why is that? Why are they so interested in getting your stuff in the cloud? I tell you, it's not for altruistic reasons. No. They want to charge you for storage, and who knows if they want to have a vulture-style agreement that says eventually your stuff in their cloud is theirs. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them, though.
Oh, yeah. And your cloud data could be feeding into OpenAI systems right now,
too.
Could
be training them all. Yep. Right. So.
Okay. How about doing these backups? I have an old DOS command file that does image backups, of directories and things like that. That goes back to last century. But it still works.
Yeah, you can use an X copy.
Yeah, that would be, use X copy or RoboCopy. That would be a genuine backup.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever you had at the moment you did the copy is going to be on that backup.
And then schedule within your startup when you're going to kick that batch file off so that it's more automated and you don't have to rely on yourself to actually do it.
Yeah.
And swap your target, though. Having just one target attached to that computer is not a backup either.
I started that, but it's kind of a pain to remember to switch.
Yes, we know.
I mean, it's you're doing it in a working environment. I'm doing it here. Like, I'm lucky to remember what I'm supposed to do tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not doing it in our working environment. We're actually sending it to a cloud target in a local target. But when it comes to our home, our personal stuff, you know, we might use NASes. We might use all sorts of different approaches to backup. But having it attached directly is not a backup, because if you get ransomed, the whole thing is ransomed.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
There we go, Donald. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're not big fans of Outlook, are we? We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number on this lovely Easter weekend here in Connecticut. Feel free to get online no matter where you are in the country. I don't think it'll cost you anything if you're using a cell phone. 860-522-9842. We'll be right back. Sally, hang on. We're back, and we're here to help you till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and then at 11, Dr. Leslie will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So let's go to Sally out there first in Tolland. Oh, you there, Sally?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, good.
I can explain. I have a Windows 7.
Yeah.
It runs slow. I've always I was listening to this woman, and she said she just used it for financial, and I have my brokerage account on there, and that's about all I use it for other than YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs slow until I have to get a new computer, and I have my, on top of that, my security with Norton is running out in a couple days.
Yeah.
And so in order to get this Norton, I have to update. Well, I can't. I need a new computer.
Right.
And so with what I have on there, if I don't get a new computer before the time runs out, well, am I at risk if I use it?
You're at risk anyways, because you're running Windows 7.
Yeah, I know. But it's always worked. My husband had a 10 and everything on it, all the bells and whistles, and he had more problems with that, and it died finally. And I said, my good old thing, it takes a while, but I've always been able to access, you know?
I hear you. So, that's not safe.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
It's not safe. So basically, there's so many vulnerabilities that are in Windows 7 that you have no idea about, and Microsoft doesn't even care to fix.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If there's the bad guys are trying to get in that machine. So the fact that it works for you is great, but it works for the bad guys too.
Okay.
So you shouldn't be running system. Now, again, I don't agree with the fact that planned obsolescence is a thing, but it is a thing. And if they're not going to patch it and secure it anymore, which they're not, it's a long dead system for many years now. You're not doing yourself any favor by continuing to run it. You're actually just putting yourself more and more and more at risk.
Yeah,
by running.
Got you.
So,
can I pull a plug then? Until not I get that a new computer.
Not that bad, but you go ahead and get your new machine. And yes, you're all the things you said about Windows 10 and what you're all your husband's trouble. Yes, brand new Windows 11 machine for my own wife that she's been begging for years to, you know, because she had an old Windows 7 too that she was using for just email, and it wasn't working. And I finally got her new machine, and 2 weeks later, Microsoft Outlook updates on me, and now the machine I got her for her so that she could do email better stopped working with email again. Brand new system. Welcome to the world of IT. It's a maddening, crazy world.
I know. Yeah, I hear.
So, but it is time for you to upgrade, because you're at more risk by leaving that Windows 7 running than if you're not. And, you know, running Norton, they won't even update on it even if you wanted to run
it. No, they're done with me in a couple of days.
Even they're saying goodbye.
Well, the good news is if you get a nice new Windows 11 computer, it comes with Defender built in, and you won't even need a Norton, and you can save that money.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yep. It wasn't that much.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
$30, but yeah, that's what we did because we had two on our phone. So would you say that if I'm still running it until I get a new computer, which I'm looking for, I'm still at risk, or should I just pull the plug?
You are still at risk. I'm not going to freak you out and say pull the plug. However, it is at risk, right? So you're going to, if anything comes at you in a phishing way or some sort of attempt to go after your system, they're not targeting you specifically. They're sending out emails.
I know. I get those and I don't even look at anything.
Okay. It's just that you're at a higher level of risk because your machine is not patched. So
yeah. Okay.
Don't pull the plug or anything. You don't have to go that far, but go ahead and get a new machine.
Well, what's the best thing I should look at if that's all I need the computer for? You know, are they like gigabytes? Is there storage or anything like that?
There's gigabytes and megahertz and generations, all that stuff. So what you want to look for is an i5 processor. It's an Intel i5 processor. You want to find a recent gen. That means generation. 13th gen or better.
13th gen. Okay, I was looking at that. Yeah.
And then 16 gigs of RAM or more if you can afford it. And then half a terabyte or a terabyte of solid state hard drive. Those are your bare basics. Windows 11.
A half for what?
A half a terabyte, so 500 gigs or 1,000 gigs of storage for a solid state hard drive. That's a good start. Okay. Windows 11.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Do they come with prices that you quote?
You could find anything from $800 to $1,200 on that. That'll depend on all the other bells and whistles.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get anything like that for less than $8.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, Sally.
Oh, you've been so helpful.
Well, our pleasure. All right. And thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, too.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so Mike, hang on. Couple lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right. We are back, and we're here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Everything we talked about has been posted. And if you ever miss a show, you can just subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours out there for you to listen to Dennis and I go on and on. We probably go back even to Bob, who was with us for many years too, as far as how far back those podcasts go. So feel free to subscribe to that on the Odyssey app or through wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Mike in Plainville. What is going on, Mike?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. First of all, I have a couple of things. But first of all, somebody called last hour and they mentioned that they're using a web browser that you have recommended, and I didn't catch the name of it.
Yeah, Brave.
Brave.
That just like B-R-A-V-E? Okay.
Yep.
Second thing, I bought an external hard drive in it. I decided that I was going to schedule regular backups of my system, and then I remembered, well, if I leave it plugged in, it's still vulnerable. So that led you to wonder, well, how do businesses do it with their servers? I'm sure they don't unplug their servers daily or do it.
Oh, you wouldn't believe what we see out there. We do see IT companies configuring backups with external hard drives on businesses' servers, which is ludicrous. But we do see it. The right way to do it would be to send it to a local target and off-site so that it's air-gapped and immutable. And that's how businesses do it. In your case, you've got one hard drive. You would buy a second one, maybe a third one, and rotate them. So that would disconnect them from your system and have the other backups whenever you needed them. So you'd have an A and a B minimally disconnected from your computer, and that would be a way to take care of it for you.
Okay, thank you. Now, one more thing. I'm interested in a VPN.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it makes a difference between the major VPNs, but you talk about having, first of all, I talk about having more servers and they're faster than others. So I really don't know what to look for, A, and B, when I had one for earlier this year for about a day, I got rid of it because I had issues with my websites didn't work and all that. I was unsure how to configure it. So I wonder if you guys don't have some kind of resource of like what to do once you get a VPN. So
yeah, well, you're going to have issues, but number one, the VPN we like is called Proton.
Okay.
So check them out. As far as performance, it's also dependent upon your internet speed in your home. So you may have performance issues there. And then, of course, if there are websites out there that detect you have a VPN, some of them may not work. Some of them may work kind of funky because they can't figure out where you actually are. Because you're poking out in, who knows, Saskatchewan or something like that, and they think you're somewhere else. So you're going to occasionally have issues with certain website functionality, but generally, you can run a VPN 24/7 on your PC if you wanted to. That's what I've been doing for a while now.
And those issues with the connections and everything are just something you have to put up with the VPN?
Say that again. What's your question?
Those issues with websites having trouble detecting where you're from and all that, that's just something you end up putting up with a VPN?
Yeah, you got to put up with it, right? If you want the weather, the weather's going to give you the weather in Saskatchewan, not where you are.
Right. But I had issues like logging in to websites and stuff. There was some kind of an issue that I don't almost remember what it was. But
well, some sites are smart enough to say, hey, wait a minute, this guy's trying to log into me outside the country. If your VPN is going to some other country, the site might say, this seems a little strange, and detect you as possibly malicious. So choose a U.S. VPN site if you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can choose which country you're VPNing in, and if you might want to have finesse with that, and then you should be able to get it to work, at least for some things.
Yeah. So check out Proton. I think they offer a free one for a bit.
Yeah, I might use their mail as well because I've heard good things.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Take it easy. He's definitely called us from the highway, it sounded like.
Yeah.
Like he was working on the highway. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. But yeah, VPNs, I mean, they're very important if you want more security. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all relative, right? So it's secure, but is it, how secure is it? I don't know. If you're putting data at certain places, whatever you're putting there, not that you're doing anything wrong. We talked a little bit about this out the air. I mean, they're trying to ban TikTok. Now, I'm not a big fan of TikTok, but they're banning TikTok because they say the government of China can access our data, which is
right.
True. Which is
yeah,
true.
It is true.
But then again, so can the NSA or the CIA mm-hmm. or the FBI access our data on Facebook or on any of the other social medias. So it's a little, what do you call it? It's the pot calling the kettle black here when it comes to this whole thing. Yes, China has access to your data, so I would tell you not to use it. But it's not like you're any safer here in America. Again, not that you're doing anything wrong. But we should have more privacy in that there should be subpoenas that come to you, not that go directly to these cloud providers of these services that say, hey, I want to have all the information on Dennis. And Dennis is not even informed that someone is doing that to him.
Right.
And that doesn't seem like correct. Doesn't seem American to me. So as we're banning TikTok, maybe we need to do a little more thinking about how we secure our data. Now, again, we want law enforcement to find the bad guys like I do. I want them to find the bad guys. I want them to find them quickly, easily. But we all shouldn't be scooped up in that because what you're not doing wrong now turns out to be, you have a habit of making wine. I don't, by the way. My wine is awful. I tried it once. And it turns out the wine you make can make you go blind. I mean, the point is that could be illegal, right? I think it is actually. And somehow you're found out that you're doing that. It's not cool, right? They shouldn't have access to that type of stuff because they were going after somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we need a little better separation on how people are accessing our data. And VPNs can help. They can help. But once you're connected and if they're on your machine, you're decrypted and they're, if they're watching what you're doing, you're nothing you can do, really. Anything you want to bring up there, Dennis, as far as any tech talk or tech news you want to bring up?
Well, one thing that you mentioned is that your data on services like TikTok and Facebook can be exposed to governments.
Right.
But those companies that are hosting it themselves can share it with anybody they want.
That's true.
And in fact, it turns out that Facebook was sharing private messages.
Yes, they were.
With none other than Netflix.
Why would they do that?
Well, you may remember at one time Facebook had a service where it was actually a streaming service they were offering called Facebook Watch.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yes, there's a reason for that.
All right.
Because it was nothing. It died very quickly. But it turned out that they turned over that data to Netflix because they were trying not to they decided at some point they're just not going to compete with Netflix because Netflix advertises on Facebook so heavily.
Yeah.
They are a major revenue contributor to Facebook.
Gotcha.
So they had to knuckle under and essentially make Netflix happy.
Yeah, this is a very interesting story. Yeah. I'll put it out there. They were literally using something called Project Ghostbusters, and they were decrypting and reading your Snapchat, and they were trying to get a competitive advantage over Amazon and YouTube by analyzing traffic inflows and outflows. So we'll put this link up here, but again, anything you do on any application, your EULA says Zuckerberg can do whatever he wants to you, right? And they're going to give you a new update anytime. And all those posts you put out there saying that you are telling Facebook that your stuff is private, guys, that doesn't do anything. Okay? You can go ahead and declare it private all you want. You've already accepted the EULA that says he's got access to your stuff.
Yeah.
Period. Nothing you state on their platform changes that. He's laughing at you. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. We'll be right back. And we are back on this Easter weekend. And, of course, UConn, both the men and the women are playing today.
They are. Go Huskies.
Looking forward to those games.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you are, too. So we're here to help you out. If you want, between now and 11 o'clock, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And then, of course, at 11, Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. But, yeah, this whole Facebook thing, you know, they're being sued for kind of, you know, having a whole man-in-the-middle attack, really.
Yeah.
An app that was placed on top of your Facebook and kind of able to read and get into your Snapchat information. And this is what these companies are doing, right? When you're in their ecosphere, they can kind of do what their EULA say they can do to you.
Yeah.
And we'll see how these lawsuits actually play out because, of course, they're going to say, oh, you know, we weren't looking at any kind of data yet, right? We'll see. But anytime you're in these ecospheres, you're pretty much giving up your rights, right? You were just saying, okay, I want to use this tool. And in order to do so, they're saying, well, in order to do so, we want to know everything about you. And we want to be able to sell all your data to everybody and enjoy. That's why it's free, guys. It's free because you're the commodity that they're selling. And that's the case practically with everything. Even some of those private search engines, they say, you know, they anonymize your data, but they're still selling your data to third parties for marketing reasons. And again, that's their prerogative. That's what they do. Anything you want to bring up?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that we talk about from time to time is old code that gets carried over from version to version to version to version.
Yes.
Sometimes through decades.
Yep.
And we've actually seen where that phenomenon bit people very seriously during what was that? Hafnium was taking over Exchange servers at businesses and just getting all the mail that was stored on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an article in the Register about another piece of code.
Yep.
It's a little less dire than that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a piece of code that just got put into Windows 95.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't really ever changed since.
Since Windows 95. Since we pretty much started this program.
It is the drive format dialogue.
Okay.
So if you put in an external hard drive, we've been talking to people about them this morning.
Yes.
You put in an external hard drive. Well, you got to format it, right?
Yep.
So you right click on it and you click format.
Sure.
Okay. Well, there's a dialogue that comes up that'll do that for you.
Yep.
That dialogue goes all the way back.
Wow.
To Windows 95.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's how these programmers operate.
Right. Now, I think it's been tweaked a little bit since then because some partition formats have come out that didn't exist in that day, like XFAT.
Yeah.
But that's really all they did. I mean, it just kind of added a little code in certain other option and then make another call to another place in the operating system.
Yep.
And boom, then you go. But there's tons of things that are in Windows
right.
that literally haven't been touched in 30 years.
That is an amazing.
And that just boggles my mind.
It's an amazing stat.
It really does.
The other thing now with artificial intelligence is that folks are using ChatGPT and other tools to actually write code, right? Mm. And so when they're writing this code, they're hoping the artificial intelligence does it properly. But the problem with this is, so you got a lot of these newer programmers, these kids coming out of college are using the tool to write the code for them. But who knows what other code is being injected into your code? Because since you can't seem to do it yourself, the bad guys could also be injecting code. Again, there's nothing about ChatGPT that knows good code from bad code.
Right.
So if you've got this happening where you've got maybe malicious code as part of the code that's being placed inside your Python code that you just wrote,
right?
Who knows what you're doing to open up your own company and yourself? And the code you're putting in there has a context that maybe the company you're working for doesn't want that to be gotten out. Right? Maybe you're working on an amazing algorithm or formula that has to do with the programming and you want ChatGPT to help you. You just gave away their company's secrets.
Right.
So I know this is the age of AI starting, the infancy really of AI, but we're going to make so many dumb mistakes using this stuff. And you talk to so many people, I could take a couple hours and do it myself, or I could just ask ChatGPT to do it in a few minutes. But you don't know if it's done correctly.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've noticed with some of these chat things, their informational base can be up to 2 or 3 years old.
Right.
So if you're asking, how to program something, it's possible that whatever you're trying to do has changed in that programming language since then.
Right.
But ChatGPT isn't going to know the difference, and they're going to give you bad code from 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Yep. So be careful. Artificial intelligence has got, I think, a lot of promise. I'm looking forward to it. We need some actual intelligence, but it'd be nice to have some artificial intelligence to help with the actual. So if Elon can come up with something like Grok, I think he said he's going to call it. Grok. He's going to read all these ombudsman things that these legislators put up against us, so we can actually read what's inside these laws. We'll know what's going on. I can applaud that. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn being back and producing for us. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over on Facebook and X. Yes, it's called X, Carolyn. It's not Twitter anymore. and I want to thank again you guys for joining us.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.
Go Huskies!